Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'd like to welcome you to an exciting new series on the Qalam podcast, Quranic Reflections, where all of our instructors here at Qalam share their thoughts and insights, reflections, research in regards to various chapters and verses of the Quran. We hope and pray that this will become a very beneficial resource for people to develop an understanding of the Quran and to come closer to the Book of Allah. If this is of benefit to you, please visit supportqalam.com. Visit supportqalam.com and donate and contribute generously. That is what allows us to continue to do this work and deliver the understanding of Islam to as many people as possible all around the world. Now, go ahead and listen. Please share with family and friends. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وبعد. In the portion of the Quran that was recited last night in the Taraweeh prayer, the 13th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala primarily touches on three topics. The first is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the beautiful story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And that conclusion can be summarized as the latter part of Yusuf alayhi salam, which tells the tale of an individual who now has the opportunity to get retribution, to get revenge, but decides not to do so. Who shows the better quality of himself. The second, Allah commences with Surah Ar-Ra'd. And to summarize Surah Ar-Ra'd, we can say Allah calls unto mankind to contemplate over the beauty and magnificence of His creation. The third, Allah begins Surah Ibrahim, which has a number of lessons, but its namesake, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, can best be summarized in one word, and that word is sacrifice. The first part where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, we learn something very profound. And that is, after going through a number of different trials, phases in his life, Yusuf alayhi salam's trajectory now takes a turn for the better. He becomes the governor. He's in charge of the finances of Egypt. And now we know the very lengthy story where his brothers now come back, and then there's that whole altercation where who stole the goblet, who did not steal the goblet. But the important part for our purposes is when they come back and they're asking for their brother, Binyamin. And now, what does Yusuf alayhi salam say to these brothers who had done injustice to him? Do you remember Yusuf? And then they click on. They're like, Subhanallah, this is that same Yusuf that we had abandoned in a well. And he says something. He says, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. That today there is no rebuke, today there is no blame for you. May Allah forgive you and may Allah forgive us. This is a very powerful lesson for myself first and foremost. What's this lesson? That when you were done wrong to, when you were the victim of oppression, and the tables turn, and now you have the opportunity to mete out that same treatment, but you decide not to do so, then you have inculcated the lesson, the example, the lifestyle of Yusuf alayhi salam. And this was very pronounced in the seerah. In a very famous and authentic narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting beneath a tree. And a person from the opposing army seizes the opportunity that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alone. There's no one to guard him. The Sahaba were resting elsewhere. This individual, he sees that the sword is hanging from the tree. He grabs the sword. He wakes up the Prophet alaihi salatu wa taslim and he says, "May yamna'uka minni? May yamna'uka minni?" That, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will now protect you from me? Your friends, your guardians, your companions, they're not here to protect you. I have the sword, physically, to the naked eye, I have the advantage over you. What does the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? He says, you're asking me, مَن يَمْنَعُكَ مِنِّي? He says, Allah, Allah, Allah. And he says it with such strength and charisma that the person yielding the sword begins to fumble and he drops the sword. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he picks up the sword now, and when the tables turn, he says, مَن يَمْنَعُكَ مِنِّي? Now who's going to protect you from me? And the person, he says, كُنْ خَيْرَ آخِذٍ. Why don't you be the better of the two? I know, just a few seconds ago, I had the upper hand. Now that the tables are turned, you know, I never meant to do this. And now 101 excuses are coming forward. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after a short dialogue, forgives this individual. And this person, he goes back to his tribe. And he tells them that I am coming to you from the greatest individual I have ever met. I went out to kill him. I went out to victimize him, and I return as the one who became the victim. But he decided not to oppress me. He forgave me instead. And what's more fascinating is these exact words, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم, as recorded by Ibn Abi Dunya and Al-Bayhaqi in Dalail al-Nubuwa, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he returns back to Mecca, after having been banished and exiled, he has those same individuals who treated him so harshly in front of him. And what does he say to them? He says, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ أَقُولُ كَمَا قَالَ أَخِي يُوسُفُ. I say to you, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, I say to you what my brother Yusuf said to his brothers, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. There is no blame onto you today. And this is a lesson for me first and foremost. It's so easy to talk about this, but can I internalize it? That when I have now that opportunity to teach a lesson to that person who treated me wrong, do I have the patience? Do I have the strength? Can I muster the courage now and say that I forgive you? To say it is very easy, but to actually practice upon it is something completely different. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that strength when we have that opportunity to mete out justice, to treat someone like they had treated us, which I am entitled to, but I still decide not to do so. So we ask Allah for that strength. The second is Surah Ar-Ra'd. And before Surah Ar-Ra'd begins, Allah has a very, subhanAllah, amazing verse of the Quran. He says, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That how many signs there are in the heavens and in the earth, يَمُرُّونَ بِهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. That mankind passes by these signs every day, but they do not heed and turn an eye to it. Allah is telling us in this verse that if you are sincere in your search for the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if you're sincerely looking for the wonder, for the magnificence of Allah in His creation, you will definitely find it. But mankind decides to turn a blind eye. And that's our fault. And that's what's epitomized in Surah Ar-Ra'd, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about thunder. Allah talks about vegetation. Allah talks about this world. Talks about the beauty. Talks about the grandeur. Subhanallah. That is the lesson that we learn. That sometimes there will be signs in the horizon, but وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Do we not look into ourselves? My own existence, my own creation is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very common today for atheists, agnostics, others to complain that look, the world that you see today, 200 years ago, for many of these phenomena, occurrences, we never had an explanation. But today, due to scientific advancements, we know why things happen. It's not that water falls from the clouds, rather there's a cycle of rain. You have evaporation, condensation, precipitation. We know what happens. There's no God. Why do you say that Allah is doing this? There's no creator behind this. As Mawlana Wahiduddin Khan responds to this potential objection, he says that what now has happened, before we had a simplistic explanation of Allah, today we have a more profound, detailed explanation of the existence of Allah. Before, we used to assume that the rain would just fall, and we were unaware of this entire process and cycle. Today, by uncovering the process and cycle, we have not excluded Allah, our God, from the equation. Rather, we now better understand His power, might, and wisdom. Subhanallah. Where one sees a reason to negate the existence of Allah, true believers will find a greater reason to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Bedouin one says in Arabic poetry, إِنَّ الْبَعْرَةَ تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْبَعِيرِ والأثر على المسير فسماء ذات أبراج وأرض ذات فجاج أفلا تدل على العليم الخبير. That when you see droppings of an animal, immediately what do you conclude, what do you deduce? That there was an animal in order for the droppings to exist. If you see footsteps, you conclude and deduce that somebody walked. So when you see this entire creation, you see the heavens, you see the earth, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand in everything, don't you and can't you conclude that there is an existing being who brought all of this into existence, and not that it happened arbitrarily, without any reason, without any function and ad hoc? Subhanallah. So Allah is telling us, how many signs do we see in a day, yet we turn around? I had mentioned earlier the example and analogy Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala he gives. He says that when you look to the sky at night and you see the different beautiful stars, to the naked eye, each star is very small. Each star is very small. And if you're to compare the size of those stars, those small specks in the horizon, and you just take your thumb and you say, okay, which one is larger, my thumb or the stars? You would say you can take a few clusters of stars, yet my thumb appears to my naked eye much larger. My thumb is larger than these stars. Whereas we know in reality that each star can be not only larger than me, but larger than the planet that I stand on. Which shows the deficiency of our senses, of our intellect, and the magnificence of Allah's creation. So the second lesson that we learn is we have to search for the signs of Allah. And those signs are definitely in front of us. But the question is, will I find therein the true lesson and a direction to Allah? Or will I turn a blind eye and say that no, this actually does not show Allah's existence? Like a simple Bedouin was able to deduce that فَسَمَاءٌ ذَاتُ أَبْرَاجٍ وَأَرْضٌ ذَاتُ فِجَاجٍ أَفَلَا تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْعَلِيمِ الْخَبِيرِ. That this beautiful creation in front of us, would it not direct us to the greater being and the creator? The final lesson Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses in the 13th juz is Surah Ibrahim, which has so many lessons. Allah talks about Qiyamah. Allah talks about the dialogue of Iblis with those he has deluded. That I have nothing to do with your delusion. But the namesake is Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam deserves much more time. But the one way we can summarize it is sacrifice. The different phases of his life, where he was abandoned by his people for his correct belief. And then he's instructed to sacrifice his only son. His every life was a living and breathing example of sacrifice. But I want to talk about one point Allah mentions in Surah Ibrahim. He says, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. That, O Ibrahim, you have come to a barren land. You have built my house, the Kaaba. And now, to you, you think, there's no one here. I just built a home for you to worship, but there's no one over here. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ. Go now and call to the rest of creation. Ibrahim alayhi salam could have said very clearly that, Ya Allah, who am I going to call? But Allah promises Ibrahim alayhi salam, you make the call, I will bring the people. Your responsibility is only to make the call. I never burdened you with bringing the people. The people will come. And we know that today not only are people coming, that people are coming in droves, in millions. The largest congregation in this world, Hajj. Subhanallah. So what lesson do we learn from this? Very simple lesson. That when it comes down to, you know, calling people to Islam, whether it's your non-Muslim coworker, whether it's a family member, whether it's doing da'wah in general, we have to be very clear that guidance is in the hands of Allah. If I know that my non-Muslim coworker, he never listens to me and I try to explain to him about the deen, or alternatively, in my locality, I begin a noble endeavor. I start a small masjid, I start a small organization. I'm doing something for the betterment of this community or for Islam in general, and I don't see success. But my intention is there. Allah does not burden us with the people, Allah burdens us with the effort. That we need to bring the effort in and Allah will bring the people. So if you ever begin something or you're ever calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you ever start an initiative, but you don't see success immediately. And you know what? Even if there's no success before you pass away, you will get that reward of someone who was successful. And that's what the story of Ibrahim teaches us. That he had done everything. He now builds a home, a Kaaba, the most noblest. And what does Allah say? Call the people to come to you. But subhanAllah, to the naked eye, it seems that no one's here. Who is there to call on to? But Allah says, I will hold my promise true. You do your part, I will do my part. And very often when we're involved in different good and noble actions, particularly outreach, calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we may get despondent. So from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we learn never be despondent. Rather, always trust the process and trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with these different wisdoms and lessons. The first lesson that we learn is when we have the advantage and the tables turn, let's not treat that individual the way he treated us or the way she treated us, which is a difficult quality to inculcate, but we ask Allah to give us the ability to do so. The second lesson we learn is do not turn a blind eye to the ayat, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are signs in the heavens, there are signs in the earth, there's signs within myself. And finally, when I do something noble, when I do something good, I definitely have to put an effort into it, but I should never once become despondent or despair that I don't see the results, because I will call to Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do the rest. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from the Qur'an. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to inculcate the characteristics outlined in the Qur'an. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.